Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop Blinds.com right now and get up to 40% off select styles, plus a free professional measure and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 40% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
Man, it feels like it's been a month of football in the last couple of days, because it's not just been the games, it's been headlines off the field, injuries, and trips to Brazil, and all the pomp and circumstance that comes with these teams getting on the field for the first time as actual units. So the preseason, we see a handful of the ones. Maybe we see a projected starting lineup that goes for, I don't know, a couple series, a quarter, maybe. But there's a lot coming into week number one, not only because we've been anticipating it and it's our first opportunity to see our teams again, and there's the classic overreaction to all of it, but also because it's been such a long time, and generally we end up with more questions than answers. And then this week one, there happened to be a lot of other storylines away from the field, either with injuries, maybe that happened on the field, or just in general having to try to figure out where guys are and only finding out at the last second, right? So that happened with Russell Wilson. It happened with Christian McCaffrey on Monday night. So there's just a lot swirling in my brain right now about week one and trying to digest, trying to process, trying to log into social media while I'm talking. That's always a fun chore. But yeah, week one is in the books, and it was the Niners and the Jets that wrapped up on this Monday night. And no doubt, even as much as fans and coaches and athletes were anticipating just the fact that it's Monday night, it's their season opener, there's just as much of that, say, tension, anticipation, maybe some nerves for Aaron Rodgers and the New York Jets, who finally get him on the field for their first game after signing him. Remember last year, he only survived four snaps before he was gone. Never had a touchdown. So we finally get to see Aaron Rodgers with gangrene, sporting the green and white, and actually serving as the quarterback for the New York Jets. But we don't see Christian McCaffrey. Instead, we see Jordan Mason. And we saw a Niners defense that was more than capable of limiting the Jets offense. And there's probably a couple of reasons for that. Number one, Jets offense is getting its first extended action in a game with Aaron Rodgers at the helm. Second, they've got several new members of the offensive line. And third, just in general, Rodgers trying to shake off the rust after over a year. I mean, if you think about it and you kind of discount those four plays from the beginning of last season opener, well, he hasn't played football now in what, a year and a half? His first game in a year and a half So there is likely some of that, just finding your rhythm and timing again. Plenty to talk about, that is for sure. So one last game on this Monday night to wrap week number one. If you feel like there was a Monday MVP candidate from this last game, maybe a Jordan Mason, well, you can send your write-in vote. Otherwise, you have a couple hours left to pick from our choices for Monday MVP. Oh, and we absolutely left Josh Allen off the list on purpose, just so you would get mad. That's how we work around here. So at Amy After Hours, our Facebook page too, and then our phone number 855-212-4227.
Definitely why we did it.
We think about these things. We spend time wondering and brainstorming about how we can get fans riled up and believing that we hate their teams. That's my number one goal, didn't you know? I've got all kinds of time for that sort of stuff. So the poll is still live for a couple more hours. As I say, it's just four names, a couple of suggestions, and you can always respond with, "You idiots!" I mean, some version of that seems fairly common. So whether it's on the phone or online, we're glad to have you with us after hours with Amy Lawrence. We are going to get into Monday Night Football pretty quickly. In addition, more trouble for Deshaun Watson, who I know spoke in the last, what maybe was right after the game against the Cowboys, talking about the loss of some family members. But on Monday, another bombshell dropping about him and his time in Houston, and yet another lawsuit that accuses him of sexual misconduct, in this case, sexual assault and battery. And this goes back to late 2020. So this is a newer accusation, but one that would have happened around that same time when he wasn't playing with the Houston Texans. He was still a Texan, but he wasn't playing, and they were essentially paying him to not play when they were going through their whole dispute, and he wanted to be traded, and they didn't want him to get hurt before he was traded. Yeah, so this is something that has come up that's new, but it goes back to that same time period. So we will share the details as we know them. Remember, he already served an 11-game suspension that was deemed appropriate by the NFL and its disciplinary offices, officials, officers, all of those things. It was deemed appropriate based on the number of lawsuits that he was facing from various masseuses or massage artists. He ended up settling, was it 22 of 23 or 23 of 24? And there's still one that's outstanding. And it was the same attorney who was repping all of those women. That same attorney is now representing another woman who's come forward who's not a masseuse, but instead had a date with Deshaun Watson. And the story that she tells, her side of the story, that date went off the rails relatively quickly. Though, if you were paying attention to the details that were shared by multiple women in the lawsuits that were filed, the massage artist, again, her story, her allegations, her accusations of Deshaun Watson are not all that different. Now, you can ask questions about the timing. You can ask questions about whether or not she's being truthful, or if this is real, or if this is just another attempt to pile on, to try to get money out of Deshaun Watson. All of those are legitimate questions. I don't have the answers to any of them. I can only tell you what she's put in the lawsuit. And of course, keeping in mind that he and his camp settled the majority of the other lawsuits. But there is still one outstanding. So he still does have legal issues. I don't know if this changes anything about the Cleveland Browns and the idea of buyer's remorse, but if it was just football alone, there might be some of that anyway. The Tyreek Hill body cam footage that's also been shared all over social media, all over the internet. I think it's about a 3.5 minute video that I saw. I know it's been cut up in various smaller chunks. But I would encourage you to watch it. He did interviews all over the place on Monday. I saw him on several different networks. Calais Campbell, same thing, doing interviews about his experience when he stopped to check on his teammate, see how his teammate was doing. And he said following the game on Sunday that he was also detained for disobeying the orders of the officer. And he is part of the video that came from the body cam footage. My initial reactions are, well, just as a side note, seeing the reactions, and I mean mixed emotional reactions online, at first gave me pause. And I thought, oh no, I don't really want to watch this. Of course, I had to because of work and because I need to be able to speak intelligently about what I saw and give you my reaction and give you my description. However, had it not been for work, I don't know that I would have watched it right away. This stuff kind of sticks with me, and I have a hard time emotionally letting go of things like this. But also, it's something that I'll think about over and over again. So after seeing the 3.5 minute video from one of the officers, and remember one of the officers that was on scene was placed on desk leave, administrative leave. But it seemed to me that there were multiple officers who escalated the situation or got upset pretty quickly. I want to be really respectful. For those of you who listen to the show, you know that I am a big supporter of law enforcement as well as our military. I am in awe of the vast majority of men and women who serve in blue or who work as first responders. You all put yourselves in the line of fire, and your job has never been harder. Your job has never been more dangerous. Law enforcement has become a target for many people who would seek to do evil around our country. So I say this with the utmost of respect. I am in no way casting shade on all law enforcement, nor am I pigeonholing or stereotyping or putting all law enforcement in one group. I am not doing that. Again, I say this as respectfully as possible. I've never been in your shoes. I don't know what it's like to do your job. In this particular case with Tyreek Hill, he was a smartass. He was saucy. He did not do what the officer told him to do. And I can imagine that from the perspective of these officers, a closed window, especially one that you cannot see through, is a major red flag. Considering the number of police officers who've been shot around the country, who've been targeted by people in vehicles when they're in their vehicles or when they're out on traffic stops. Again, I'm not in any way saying that this isn't a dangerous job or that I don't understand the reaction based on the fact that Tyreek Hill did not initially follow instructions. He was told to put his window down after he was pulled over. He put it down briefly, maybe 2 inches, and then right back up again. After the officer told him to put it down, he opened it up quickly and then put it right back up again. Again, tinted windows, can't see through them, don't know what's happening on the other side. All of that, I understand. The officer knocks on the window. He gets agitated. Tyreek doesn't put the window down again. As it turns out, Tyreek was calling his agent, Drew Rosenhaus. It's very clear when they finally get him out of the car, he's on the phone with Drew Rosenhaus. Drew, I'm getting arrested. Drew, they're arresting me. Drew, they're arresting me. He had some, I wouldn't say they were nasty, just rude comments to the officers, calling them crazy, essentially, you know, telling them that they're way out of line. And it does seem like the situation escalated very quickly to the point where he gets dragged out of his car and one of the officers grabs him around the head and pulls him out. Again, I'll say it one more time. I've never been in your shoes as law enforcement. I can't possibly fathom the danger or the tension in these situations, especially when a person is not initially responding to orders or doing what you asked. But to grab a person around the head and pull him out of a vehicle, especially over a traffic stop, it just seemed like a major escalation. And I would think part of being law enforcement is to try to de-escalate, not escalate, not make it worse. Could Tyreek Hill have responded differently? Absolutely. And for him to stand in front of microphones on Sunday and say that he has no idea why he was pulled out of his car and put on the ground, that's a little disingenuous. Of course he knows why. He was running his mouth and he didn't do what the officers told him to do. At the same time, there are multiple instances on this body cam footage in which the force that was used against Tyreek Hill seems unnecessary, excessive, and dangerous. Not to mention degrading to a human being. He first gets pulled out of the car by his head. He gets thrown to the ground, and there he's handcuffed. And then while he's handcuffed, and it's an exchange, it's back and forth. He's yelling at one of his teammates, call Drew, call Drew, call Drew, because one of his, a couple of his teammates that looked like were in one vehicle and they pulled over. So the officer, a couple of the officers are then trying to get that vehicle to move because they're pulled over and parked in a space or standing in a space where they're not supposed to be. And again, the officers are, I'm sure, have been in situations before where you got to be careful who's around and if you're not watching your six all the time. So they're trying to then deal with Calais Campbell and another teammate that are in a vehicle trying to get them to leave. Tyreek is still talking, yelling about calling Drew. But one of the officers, while he's in handcuffs, comes from behind him and almost, it seems like, kind of puts him in a chokehold for a second. Again, I'm not there. I'm only watching a video. But the force that was used against Tyreek Hill, not only to get him out of the vehicle, but then, I guess, to try to get him to stop talking or to try to get him to, I'm not really sure what the second use of force was about. Maybe the officer exasperated because he wasn't doing what he was told and wouldn't shut up. I'm not sure. But you watch the video and it's jarring to see the way that he was, I mean, he's a relatively small dude. The way that he was physically handled. Oh, I remember now, and this may have been why the officer came from behind him and kind of grabbed him around the neck. He was told to sit down, I think, on the curb. And he starts complaining about the fact that he just had knee surgery. One of them did say he was Tyreek Hill, too. So at least one of them knew who he was. And so he was told to sit down. Or to kneel, one or the other, but I think it was sit down. And he is saying, I just had knee surgery. I can't sit down or I can't go down like this. And Yeah, it seemed like the officer from behind just lost patience and decided that he would force him to sit down and puts an arm around his neck from behind. So those things are jarring to see. Regardless of whether or not Tyreek Hill is running his mouth. I mean, that is what he does. Tyreek Hill runs his mouth. It seemed as though this force was excessive and unnecessary when there are multiple officers there. And then not only to get him out of the car, he's a relatively small guy, but also when he didn't comply with their instructions quickly enough. Trying to see from both sides, the situation got emotional and escalated quickly. I wish the officers had de-escalated a little bit. It's hard, though, in those situations, I'm sure, not to feel that adrenaline, get fired up. And yeah, Tyreek, he was not doing what they asked him to do and had excuses for it. Was that worth having an officer corral you around the neck? Not from my perspective. And I'll just say one more time, I've never been in the shoes of law enforcement. I can understand theoretically why a closed window would be a major red flag and a source of adrenaline. And that would be something that would trigger officers that this could be a situation that they need to be very careful of and to try to get the situation under control. But it definitely seemed as though the physical use of force was over the top. And I wish the officers had de-escalated rather than escalated. And this is just based on body cam footage. I obviously wasn't there. We're going to get two sides of the story. You've got the Dolphins coming out with a statement, law enforcement coming out with their own reaction to it. Tyreek Hill, Calais Campbell, others. The officers, by the way, to me seemed to...
Head to Safeway this week for these amazing deals for their members. USDA Choice Boneless Beef Tri-Tip Roast, Untrimmed Twin Pack, just $4.99 per pound. Signature Farms Boneless Skinless Chicken Breasts, Thighs or Wings. Buy one, get one free of equal or lesser value when you buy two. Progresso Soup, 18 to 19 ounce selected varieties. Buy two, get four free when you buy six. Visit Safeway.com for more details. See you in the aisles.
Okay, so that's with bacon, cheese, lettuce, tomato, grilled onions, ketchup, and hold the pickles.
You know what you like. You wouldn't order your burger just any way. Why should your sports talk be any different? With Chapters on the free Odyssey app, you can choose the topics that matter to you most. Whether it's reactions, matchup previews, injury updates, or team news, quickly find what you really care about. Your football talk, your way. Download the free Odyssey app and start listening today.
Hispanic. Not that that is neither here nor there, but this is not a white on black blatant racist type of thing. So I feel like it's unfair to say that. Just the emotion of the situation, it got out of control and escalated far too quickly. I am interested in your reaction. Although, fair warning, inappropriate language used on either of my social media sites results in people getting blocked. If you can't share your opinion without inappropriate language, then don't share it with me. At A-Law Radio, also on our Facebook page, and our phone number is 855-212-4227. I know I went a little long. We'll get to the football game as well as more of this. Calais Campbell speaking out, as I say, lots of kind of cleanup from the weekend that was week one in the NFL. Wowzers. It's in the books. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Everybody has bad apples in every situation, you know, so I want to be able to, you know, use this platform, you know, to figure out to figure out a way to like flip this and, you know, make it a positive on both ends, on my end and then also Miami-Dade, you know, so that way we can team together and, you know, do something positive for the community, because that's what it's all about, bro.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Tyreek Hill on Sunday, once he was finished with the Dolphins-Jaguars game, and he had an 80-yard touchdown, and he was jumping around on the field after the game. Calais Campbell, he was praising him, and they had an exchange, a hug, as Tyreek was exiting, and Calais was getting to the post-game press conference. And he did a bunch of interviews on Monday. It was Monday, right? He did a bunch of interviews on Monday. One of the things that he told the NBC Nightly News is it just went from 0 to 60. From the moment those guys pulled up behind me, knocked on my window, it went from 0 to 60 immediately. I was opening my door and I was going to get out, you know what I'm saying, but it felt like they was wanting me to move fast. He also told, I believe it was CNN, that the reason he did not roll down his window and leave it down is because he didn't want to attract attention. And he did say to the officer, don't tell me what to do. So any claims by Tyreek that he has no idea why they pulled him out of the car, that's just not true. Of course he knows why. He was lippy. He was salty. He was being a smartass. That's Tyreek. Does that mean he needed to be pulled out of the car by his head? I don't think so. That's my opinion, my reaction to the video. And I really hate that an officer came from behind him and put an arm around his neck. I understand he was being a bit of a jerk. He was being rude and he wasn't doing what he was told to do. At the same time, I wish these officers had not taken the bait, so to speak, had not gotten emotional about it. And it did seem to escalate very quickly. And then with the other vehicles that were pulling up and the people that were taking video, I've never been in their shoes. It just seemed like calm and wisdom went out the window, actually, no pun intended, very quickly. 855-212-4227. We'll get right to your calls here. But Calais Campbell, and Pete, you told me that we have a cut. I don't know what he's talking about, but he was on NFL Network, I'm assuming, talking about the situation.
Yeah, you know, actually, they put handcuffs on me, too, and I was like, what is going on? You know, I mean, I didn't understand what the cop was, what the issue was. You know, for him to put handcuffs on me, I felt some kind of way. But, you know, that just goes to show our resilience. So we didn't let that stop us. We just got back in line, got focused again, and went out there and played a good football game. But that definitely was an interesting way to start a ball game.
They put handcuffs on you?
Yes.
So how did that feel? Like, how did you manage your emotions of that moment and then still come out here and do what you did?
Yeah, that was the first. You know, being 17 years in this game, you know, I don't really see it on the first, but I saw Tyreek, you know, getting apprehended. I just wanted to make sure everything was okay, trying to de-escalate the situation. Officer felt some kind of way, put handcuffs on me, and then, you know, I just told myself, like, hey, don't let this get you down. Just get focused, stay locked in, and just do what you know you're prepared to do so you go ahead and win a ball game.
So that is on the field, obviously, to NFL Network. Now, I maybe, and Marco Belay's here in studio, you may have seen something different on the footage. I saw the 3.5-minute clip that's online, and I know there were a bunch of other smaller clips that were taken from that. Mm-hmm. I did see the exchange, the verbal exchange between Calais Campbell and the officer that went up to his vehicle. I did not see, if there's footage of him getting put in handcuffs, I didn't see that. I don't know if you saw that.
I didn't, but I didn't go searching for it. I'll be fair. I saw the one where he was talking to one police officer, and it seemed like it was, I mean, amicable, to a point, was just telling him to get his car, get out of here. Then the other officer came up and was heated about wanting to see Campbell's license.
Yeah.
And that's so, where they wanted back and forth. But the video ended that I saw that didn't get to the point of handcuffs.
So we were watching the same thing. So I don't know if there is video of Calais Campbell getting handcuffed. Again, that also seems excessive to me. I know that the officers probably wanted to get this under control and are very wary based on just the climate and the tenor around any type of police activity now. But man, it just it got so emotional so quickly, and it did seem like the physical force was excessive. But also, I didn't see what happened with Calais. Calais did say, and I only saw these quotes. I haven't heard the audio, but I know on Sunday he also indicated the officer told me clearly, "You're not getting arrested. You're getting detained." And said, "I didn't follow." Calais said, "I didn't follow orders. I was disobeying his orders," is what he told me. And so he seemed a little calmer about it. That was obviously on the field right when NFL Network caught up with him. Did you have any reactions, Marco?
Well, no, I mean, this whole thing, I mean, no, just like anything in life, it's not all one way or the other.
No, definitely not.
Everyone's culpable in the whole situation, but at the same time, the whole point of this is to de-escalate all situations, mm-hmm. and that is, unfortunately, we don't get that. We don't get that in this spot, that everyone's quicker to anger, and everything just, it allows the emotions to get the best of you, and that's right. What you wind up having, a situation that gets completely out of control when it's totally unnecessary. Completely and totally unnecessary. I think if you got everybody in a room when everyone was calm and said, "Was this necessary?" Everyone to a man would say, "No, this was absolutely not necessary." But in the moment, nobody could control themselves, and that's where you wind up.
Yeah, it definitely is not a linear situation where one perspective and one person is culpable in all of it. It's, as Marco points out, it gets very emotional. It gets emotional quickly over speeding. And far be it from me, again, to tell anyone how to do their jobs. That's not what I'm doing. I wish Tyreek hadn't gotten lippy. I wish he hadn't been a smartass. I wish the officers didn't take it personally and get upset about it. Other than I certainly can understand why you don't want a closed window when you're telling someone to, I mean, you don't know what he's doing behind that window.
And let's,
as it turns out, he was calling his agent, but you don't know what he's doing behind the window.
And it is, in fairness, it needs to be pointed out, not only was it closed, it's
tinted. Yeah, I mentioned that.
So he can't see.
Yeah, you can't see anything. So to me, that's a major red flag, and I would have gotten pretty upset about that at the moment, too. And so he's banging on the window. And up until that point, I didn't feel like the officers had gotten out of control. It's just the way they dragged him out of the car, and then the way the one officer came from behind him and put an arm around his neck when they were trying to get him to sit down. To me, that was just, it didn't seem necessary. He's a small dude. He just didn't.
That's in and of itself, and I get this, and I understand that it's a difficult job, and in the heat of the moment and all that, and emotions run wild. I get that. However, this is your job, and the training has to be that you de-escalate mm-hmm. every situation,
yep.
and you cannot allow your emotions to get the best of you,
agreed.
Because sometimes people do not do what they're supposed to do, but that doesn't mean that you escalated into a violent situation,
right.
and
you're
that's
you're the professional.
That's the point, and that's right. Unfortunately, that's exactly where it went to, because you could see the anger got the best of him, and then he did things that he shouldn't have done.
Mm-hmm.
That's bottom line where it comes from. That doesn't absolve Tyreek Hill from the wrongdoing he made, but at the same time, who's the professional and whose job is it?
Yeah.
And that's where this whole situation just gets completely out of control.
It does. And so those 3.5 minutes have been released. You can certainly watch them online. We're going to get to some of your calls here coming up. I don't know if we'll spend the whole show on it, but I'll give you an opportunity to say what you want to say. 855-212-4227 at A-Law Radio and our Facebook page, too. We also had Monday Night Football. So here's our latest sports update. And here's Marco.
Infinity Sports Network. Sports Flash.
And we're sponsored by Progressive Insurance. Protect your home and auto. Save when you bundle. Get a quote. Progressive.com. Well, no Christian McCaffrey out with the calf injury, but the 49ers still able to play bully ball.
7-minute drive. Under center Purdy for the Niners. From the 5 of the Jets. Second down goal. Gets the snap. Handoff. Mason over the right tackle. Touchdown. Broken tackle at the goal line. And Karam's off that body in for a 5-yard San Francisco touchdown run.
Part of a 28-carry, 147-yard night from Jordan Mason as the 49ers roll the Jets 32-19. Kevin Harlan to call Westwood 1. The McCaffrey scratch was a surprise, but Kyle Shanahan pushed back on the idea that he had a setback.
No, he didn't have a setback. I mean, it was on and off throughout the week. He was able to practice throughout the week. Just it was always bothering him to a degree. And sometimes it goes away, sometimes it comes back, and today was bothering him a little too much to where we didn't feel good about it.
Now, Brock Purdy threw for 231. Aaron Rodgers, 167 yards passing, a touchdown and a pick. Elsewhere, Dolphins head coach Mike McDaniel still visibly upset while discussing the Tyreek Hill incident from Sunday.
It's been hard for me not to find myself more upset the more I think about it. And that's because of, you know, my teammates and trying to put myself in that in that situation that they've described emotionally.
Now, the police union representing the officers that detained Hill put out a statement saying he was uncooperative and was redirected to the ground while in handcuffs because he refused to sit. Meanwhile, a new civil lawsuit filed in Houston accuses Browns quarterback Deshaun Watson of sexual assault and battery in October of 2020. And keep in mind, Watson served an 11-game suspension in 2022 after more than two dozen women accused him of sexual assault and inappropriate conduct. Rams will not have Puka Nacua for at least 4 weeks, placed on IR after re-aggravating his knee injury. Browns reportedly adding former first-round pick wide receiver Kadarius Toney. Packers starting Malik Willis Sunday against the Colts. Jordan Love is out with the knee injury. However, no IR for Love at this point. Baseball, the Phillies able to survive the Rays 2-1 on a Cody Clemens walk-off single. Mets up and the Blue Jays 3-2. Yankees club the Royals 10-4. Reds shut down the Braves 1-0. Red Sox punished the Orioles 12-3. Pirates 3. Marlins 2. Angels erase the Twins 6-2. Guardians over the White Sox 5-3. And the Cubs trounce the Dodgers 10-4. I'm Marco Belletti.
It's been hard for me not to find myself more upset. The more I think about it. And that's because of, you know, my teammates and trying to put myself in that emotion or in that situation that they've described emotionally. And then knowing more than that, I think the thing that f***s me up, honestly, to be quite frank, is knowing that I don't know exactly, I don't know what that feels like.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Mike McDaniel sharing his emotional reaction to Tyreek Hill and Calais Campbell. And I don't know for sure. I don't want to make any assumptions, but it sounds like he'd seen the video at that point when he was reacting. That's from Monday, correct? Yeah, so that wasn't in the Sunday right after the game. This was in the wake of the body cam footage being released by the Miami-Dade law enforcement, Miami-Dade authorities. I'll have to get the exact law enforcement agency so that I don't screw it up. Miami-Dade police. That's who released the body cam footage. And it certainly is available anywhere that you look online. The longest clip I've seen is 3.5 minutes. I don't know if there's more than that, but it does show both the physical, both of the incidences in which physical force is used with Tyreek Hill. It doesn't actually show Calais Campbell getting in handcuffs, nor does it show when they released Tyreek and allowed him to get back in his car to go. I didn't see that part either. I don't know if they release more as we move forward. 855-212-4227. Gordon is in California. Gordon, welcome to After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Thank you for taking my call. I just want to point out a couple of things. Okay, one, when the officer escalated, when he was at the window from where the film showed, he had already had Tyreek's license in his hands. If you looked at it closely, he had his license in his hand and his registration. Before he even approaches the car, they run your plates. So they already know who's the owner of the car, who's their background record before they even come up to your car. So where's the threat? I don't think he has a bad record or says that he's violent. And if he does have a bad record, why didn't he ask him to get out of his car before he even approached it? Tyreek gave him his thing. And plus, it doesn't show him approaching the car. The film starts where they have the verbal thing.
Now, the film starts with him telling him to open his window, and then you can see Tyreek opening the window, speaking to the officer, telling him, don't tell me what to do, and then closing the window. That's all very clearly on the footage that I saw.
But also, it listens to Tyreek say, just write my ticket so I can go. That's what he got pulled over for. What did the officer need to have him get out of the car?
Gordon, he had him get out of the car because he wouldn't listen and didn't put his window back down. And I agree with you. Tyreek's been accused of violence in the past, but when it comes to police officers, no. But are you meaning to tell me then that no police officer should ever be careful about what a person is doing behind a window that's tinted when they can't see it simply if that guy doesn't have a violent record?
No, if he does, doesn't he have a record? If he does, then he should have had him get out of the car before he approached it. That's all I'm saying. And then when you get him out of the car, what's the purpose of him sitting on the ground? Why not just say, keep your hands in front of you and stand right here while I write your ticket where I can see you? That would be fine. But to have you sit on the ground and handcuff you, that's kind of humiliating, mm-hmm. don't you think?
Definitely.
For a traffic ticket, it's going to escalate to that. You know, if you say, if you're worried about that stuff and he has the tinted windows, I agree with you. Please get out of your car and just stand back here so I can feel comfortable and while I write your ticket. I just don't know what's going on behind this tinted glass. But then again, it's like, you know, I don't want you, you're not listening to me. Ask me. Tell, you know, ask me to do that. But, I mean, what's the purpose of making you sit on the ground?
Yeah, that I don't know. Like I said, I've never been in that situation before. But I do know that on the video, you can hear the officer knock on his window 3-4 times and say, I need you to open this window, open this window, open this window. And Tyreek doesn't do it. Like Marco and I were talking about earlier, this is not a linear situation where the fault, the blame for the escalation is all on one side. But at the same time, just as I'm a professional radio host and I should be better and more professional at doing this job than anybody else who might get thrown into this situation, I could imagine that these police officers in Miami-Dade or any other major city around the country deal with, for lack of a better word, smartasses and both guys and gals who don't do what they're told. And it seems like the best approach would be to de-escalate the emotion and not take the bait, so to speak. Again, I don't know what these officers have been through. I don't know whether or not, you know, this was a trigger for them. Something has happened to them or someone that they care about, that they work with, that they serve with. Also consider that they are human beings too. But yes, I mean, the responsibility for the de-escalation to me feels like it should have fallen on the officers, even though Tyreek was not obeying orders. I don't have any issues with them getting him out of the car because they couldn't see what was happening behind the window. Just the force itself doesn't seem necessary. And to me, that seemed excessive. Javier is in San Francisco. Oh, and it's very loud in the background. Javier, welcome to After Hours.
How are you? So my opinion is that I think you're a very poor person to have a perspective on this, because most interactions you probably have with police have been positive in most conditions.
So that means I can't have an opinion after watching a video?
No, you can have an opinion, but you're sitting here trying to be very defensive of the police.
No, I'm not. You missed. I'm sorry. If you missed what I said earlier, then that's on you, Javier. I said very clearly that I feel as though the police used excessive force. It was unnecessary. It doesn't seem like they did their jobs in de-escalating. I am very respectful of law enforcement. I also think that Tyreek Hill in this situation did not need to be treated the way that he was. So I'm not sure what else you need from me, but to say that I'm a poor person to have an opinion, that'd be like me telling you that I don't care about your opinion either. We're all allowed to have opinions based on what we see, and I'm giving you my opinion based on what I saw. Tom is in Maryland. Welcome to After Hours.
Hello.
Tom, you got about 60 seconds. Go ahead.
Oh, okay. I just want to say this thing. I've not seen the videos. And my first question is normally, but listening to you describe it, I tend to agree with you. I have many, many friends who are police officers, and they're trained a little differently. So when a situation gets itchy, they're trained to step back and de-escalate, not go on the attack. The old style of training was to be loud and aggressive in attack mode. And we've gotten away from that in most precincts, but not all officers have taken to that kind of training.
Yeah, I can certainly understand that. I also know that it's a really tough job right now. I mean, police officers are targets in many cases. So thank you, Tom. I appreciate it. We're up against the top of the hour. I just actually looked up on screen. I have NFL Network up in front of me, and in no way have I seen this much available online. But it indicated there's 105 minutes of body cam footage. Again, I don't know if that's all available to the public. I don't know whether or not we're going to be able to see all of that. But, I mean, it's not like this went on for 105 minutes, obviously. And so I don't think it's all Tyreek Hill and Calais Campbell. Maybe it's pre, maybe it's post. But, yeah, NFL Network just indicated that there was 105 minutes and 33 seconds of body cam footage from this incident. Maybe combined.